Not only are these young people and adults graduating today, but I really feel like our church is graduating. I believe that this Sunday, June the 3rd, is going to be Sunday to mark time, Sunday to remember, Sunday we will never forget. That was the day. That was the day that something turned, that something happened, that something was elevated, something came together for us in the Spirit. I pray that you would speak to us today, and we're careful to hear you, just exactly as you speak. In Jesus' name we pray today, and everyone said amen. Amen. I really believe that the high school graduation is, it's one of many graduations in life. When you think about it, you literally have been graduating your whole life. I mean, just as you mastered crawling, you started walking. The moment you found your balance, someone asked you to run. Spend 12 or 13 years, depending on pre-K, and maybe 14 if you had an oops somewhere along the way. You spend a number of years in school, and just when you get the hang of that, I know where all of the classes are, I know all of the people, I've got this down, I have a routine, I have a schedule, then I graduate and I'm thrust into college or a career, and life begins to move very, very rapidly. And it never fails. As soon as you get comfortable being single, you graduate into deeper relationships. There are many graduations in life. I really believe that God intended for us to always complete and start something new. He's a God who likes beginnings. He likes things getting started, likes to call us to new things. You may need a day or 30 to catch your breath after the graduation festivities and just realizing that I can finally exhale, I'm finally done, I'm finally turning that page, I'm finally turning that corner. But do not be surprised if God calls you to start something new. Yet another beginning in life. Paul talked about it in Hebrews chapter 6. He said, leaving the elementary principles and going on. I'm graduating. I'm leaving this behind and I'm going on to something else. Again, Paul in Romans chapter 1 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So he said, we're graduating from one faith to another faith, from one level of faith to another faith. And then again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So in Romans, he says we're graduating from faith to faith. And in Corinthians, he said we are graduating from glory to glory. Because the idea is that we are never supposed to become stuck in some rut or some place that is unmoving. We have to keep progressing, have to keep moving, have to keep reaching, have to continue to begin again and start fresh and sometimes start over and to keep moving and making sure that we are seeing and knowing and realizing all that there is for us in God. We are graduates. Graduates from here to there. Graduates from this to that. And I really do believe that as a church, it's time to graduate again. Another level of faith. Another level of glory. That's not to say that the faith we've lived in, operated in, walked in has not been wonderful and incredible. That's not to say that there is anything about the glory that we have known or lived in or walked in or participated in, that there's anything about that. No, it's just, what do you have for us, God? What are you trying to say to us? What is it that you want to do in our lives? What is next for us? Where are we going? What part I play, or what part can I play in the story of the church? I really believe that it is important for us as a church to remain engaged in current culture while still maintaining things, the things that allowed us to get here. So that's what we've been doing for the last 5 months or so. We've talked about resets. We've gone through many of the areas of the church, the ministries of the church. We still have many other things to get to and things that we are working on. But we've gone through and we've just taken a look at it. How is this doing? Are we doing this just because we've always done it? Or is it effective? Is it something that works? Is it an area that is that's bringing spiritual success? Why are we doing these things? Any organization, any business, any church, any home, anyone needs to be asking these questions, taking inventory, seeing how they can make that organization, make that church, make that home, make that business a better business, making sure that we are sound financially, planning and preparing for the future, because guess what? The church at Covington absolutely has a future. I thought somebody would be more excited about that. We've got a future. We have many, many, many tomorrows out in front of us, but we are not satisfied just to maintain the status quo. We're not satisfied just to be a church that has service every Sunday at 10 a.m. or small groups on Wednesday nights. No, we want to do everything that we possibly can do to make a difference in our community. So how do we do it? How do we do it? I'm starting a new series today called I Am the Church. I'm wearing the t-shirt today. I am the church because literally I am the church and you are the church. It's not me as in Pastor Darrell. I am, we are, my family, your family, my kids, your kids. We are the church. It's not just a building on 142. It's not just an auditorium that I visit on. No, I am the church. I'm the church when I'm in the community. I'm the church when I'm at the school. I'm the church when I'm in the workplace. I'm the church when I'm in traffic and someone's cutting me off. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. It's hard to be the church then, but I really am the church. I'm the church. I got to make sure that I'm giving I love you signs instead of other signs. I am the church at all times, and how do I make sure that I am effective? And so we're going to be talking about some of these things over the next few weeks, but I want to introduce to you today just some new visual concepts, some new branding, because we've updated just a little bit some of our visual branding, our logoing, and things like that. I'm fascinated by marketing. I'm fascinated by the things that make people look, the things that turn people's heads. And so we always want to make sure that we are on the cutting edge and that we are current with those things. And we have some new branding that we've been working on now for several months, but it has meaning and it has importance. And you've been seeing this. If you could put it on the screen, this logo, this crown, you've been seeing this in a few places. Today, it unveils officially and for the first time, but you've seen this and people are texting and emailing and saying, what does this mean? What is this? I'm trying to understand the significance of this and what exactly it stands for. It's how we see us and it's how they will see us, because while I want to look cool and I want to look cutting edge and I want to look modern and I want to look fresh, I still want us to have weight and I want us to have significance. It's just kind of a habit for me. A hobby, if you will. I enjoy marketing, and I look at logos and things, and I'll see something, and it's just a line. You know, it's just, what does that mean? What does that stand for? What does that represent? When you dig a little deeper, they say, well, it just looked cool. It doesn't really stand for anything. It doesn't really represent anything. It just looked cool, and it was fun to write, or it's fun to type, or it's fun to put on a t-shirt, but it really does not have significance. I want the church at Covington to have significance. I want it to be inviting, but I want people to know that something is absolutely going to happen when they walk through the doors of this house. I don't want it to just be a place where a crowd grows and people assemble and people come through the doors because our music is cool or because our lights are nice or because we have the best t-shirts in town. I want people to come to the church at Covington because they know that that is the place where their lives are going to be changed, where their marriages can be put back together, where no matter what it is they are facing, that God is absolutely in that place. And if I go there, I'm going to have someone who will stand with me. I want to have a church that has purpose, but also has power. I want to have a church that is slick, but also has significance. Anybody with me today? So let me break this down for you. What you're seeing on the screen is literally the first renderings and design that was drawn on paper. I didn't draw this, but a designer that I've been in relationship with, have worked with for a number of years, who knows me very well, knows my heart and my vision. These are literally his drawings that he made into an image, a screen image for us to fit onto our screens. But I want to walk you through this a little bit, because he knew it couldn't just be a line, it couldn't be just some random thing, but that it had to have this weight, it had to have this significance. So I want to break down for you what this means. On the right side of that screen, it almost looks like an M, but it is a portion of a crown. A crown. A crown. You'll see it on the sign outside. Anybody notice the sign outside updated? And today, don't go on your phones right now, but as of this morning, we have just a website that's just fresh and reflective of all of our new branding and stuff is available. If you go to tcac.life, it's going to send you, you won't even know it happened, but it'll send you to the churchcov.com. Again, it's just marketingstuff.com is easier searched out in Google when people are trying to find it and populating and all of those marketing things that really don't matter to you and I, but the churchcov is our, the churchcov.com is our official URL. But you'll see this crown is so very important. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 11, John said, I saw heaven opened, And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is John writing about Jesus, writing about seeing Jesus descend and come. And the armies in heaven, verse 14, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what you put atop a king's head, right? You put a crown on top of the king's head. Listen, this isn't a man's crown nor an earthly king's crown. We've seen all manner of men disappoint us, from presidents to preachers, but there is a king. There is a king. It's the God that we worship today. It's the Savior that we celebrate today. It's the Lord. We crown him with our praise. We crown him with our worship. Hear me, church. Hear me. We've got to put him in his rightful place. We have got to put Jesus right where he belongs, not as an option, not as a plan B, not as someone back, a few people in the line behind everyone else in our lives. No, he has to have the number one position in our lives, and certainly in this church. He is the King of Kings, and we crown him just exactly who he is. We crown him. I'm honored to fill this position. Put the crown back on the screen, please. I'm honored to fill the position of senior pastor in this house. I'm grateful. I am overwhelmed and humbled by the welcome that I have received as your pastor, that our family has received, and how we have been welcomed. And I'm grateful for the honor that you have shown me. Honor is right, and we're going to build a church on honor, not just my position being honored, but your position being honored. And we're going to love one another, and we're going to serve one another. I can't promise you that at some point I'm not going to get on your nerves. I can't promise you that at some point I'm not going to upset you just a little bit. It's my job to challenge you. It's my job to push you. It's my job to call you to commitment. It's my job to ask you to pray. It's my job to tell you that all of us need to repent from time to time. It's just the position that I hold, and I understand it. But hear me loud and clear. This church is not about me. It's not about my wife who's serving in church kids today. It is about Jesus. Jesus that was sung about on this stage. Jesus that has been worshiped in this auditorium. If today's your first Sunday, I apologize. Come back next Sunday and maybe I'll be a little more calm, and maybe I will not. But I feel a fire down inside of me. I feel something that won't calm down and can't stop, because when you talk about putting Jesus in the place that he belongs, when you tell Jesus he's going to get all of the glory, guess what? He shows up with everything that he is. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about Jesus. It's not about anything else but Jesus. And we crown you, Lord. We crown you as you deserve. Because from this day forward, we have to be a church that puts Jesus in his rightful place. That's not second place. That's not plan B in our lives. It's not just one of the options. He is my Savior. He delivered me. He forgave me. I will worship Jesus with everything. 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 I just don't feel like it this Sunday. I'm going to worship him with everything. That's just not my style of music. I'm going to worship him with everything. You know what? His grace wasn't conditional in my life, so my praise is not going to be conditional for him either. I'm going to praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Is there anybody that believes Jesus is worthy of worship? Hallelujah! You ought to take about 10 seconds for a praise break to say, Lord, in my life, you deserve the worship. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice in Revelation, he was dressed and arrayed to make things right. He was ready to do war. He was ready to set things in order. He was ready to turn things around. He wasn't playing. Can I tell you that we want to present a Jesus who can make everything right in our lives? I've told you from day one, I'm going to preach a real message. I know, I hear some people want me to be real deep, and you know what? I can go deep. I got scuba gear, spiritual scuba gear. Get up and words this long, the anthropomorphism of God, you can't even spell it. It's got its place. We'll teach. We'll talk. Listen, if there's anything Daryl Hooper is committed to, it is the Word of God. You don't hear me up here reading Chicken Soup for the Soul stories. I don't have any problem with that. I don't do a lot of poetry. It's the Word. It's Bible. That's what I have to do. But it has to apply to our everyday lives. Because if you extend the energy and fight hell and high water to get to church and then get here and hear a message that doesn't even relate to what you're going through, you're not going to be nearly as motivated to get up next Sunday. So I got to preach a real life word that talks about where we are and what we're going through and what we are dealing with. I want to present a Jesus that makes things right, because there's a lot of people that have things wrong in their lives. I don't have time to teach that. Sometimes we have things wrong because of the choices that we're making. Sometimes we have things wrong because of the circumstances that we're faced with, living in and dealing with in our lives. But when you put Jesus in his rightful place, he said, I come dressed to make it right. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what will happen? These things will be added to you. He said, if you'll give me what I want, I'll give you what you want. If you'll give me the praise that I deserve, if you'll give, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today. If you'll put me in my rightful place. Just put that crown on his head. Just crown him with worship. He said, then I'm going to make sure that the desires of your heart are made right in your life. Guests are coming every week and more are coming. We ran to Houston this last week and sold our house, and thank God all that's done. Amen. We were coming home Friday and we thought we were going to stop. It's a 13-hour drive. That's before we make any stops, and we make a lot of stops in our family. Well, not me, but my wife and kids make a lot of stops. I just have to because I'm in the same car with them. But that 13 hours turns into long time. So we thought we were going to break it up, and we had the truck loaded down, and we knew if we stopped at a hotel, we were going to have to unpack all of that stuff to get things out for the hotel and put it all back. It was going to be miserable. So let's just drive straight through. And so we were hungry. We stopped in Montgomery at a restaurant and stretch our legs, eat a bite. That was a disaster. It took over an hour to get our food, and it's late, back on the road. We're at 285 getting on to I-20, and Kristen was driving. I don't know that that's germane to the story, but all of a sudden the tire pressure light came on. She had picked up a nail, and so it's 1:30 in the morning. I said, pull over to this gas station. Let's try to get air in the tire. Let's get to Covington, and then in the morning we'll deal with this. It's late. It's the Friday night crowd that's out. The gas station is covered and packed with people, and it's nearly 2 a.m. now, and the tire won't allow any more air to go in. It's leaking fast. A police officer comes over and he says, There's a 24-hour tire store just three exits back the other way. I've got 16 pounds of pressure in this tire. I don't think I'm going to make it. And we start trying to figure out how we're going to settle this, how we're going to resolve this. What are we going to do? And finally, you know, we get home, all said and done. We get home 3 a.m., needless to say, we've been exhausted. We were up nearly all night, and then yesterday was a full day just getting back, getting Sunday ready. And last night I went to bed early, and I don't think I dreamed all night. I'm not someone who dreams a whole lot, but I don't think I dreamed all night long. But somewhere this morning, Jude had come into our room and woke us up, and we got him settled, and I went back to sleep. I could see light outside. I wasn't sure exactly what time it was. I wasn't going to look at my phone because I knew as sure as I did, my mind would wake up, and I was so tired. And so if I can just close my eyes for just a few more minutes, and I'm so glad that I did. I don't know what it was, Felix and Dreda, but I was sitting on this side of the church in the dream, and I was looking up on the stage. And there was some young guy that was just shredding a guitar. I mean, just playing. And the music was incredible. It was unbelievable what I was hearing. And I'm looking out and I'm seeing people that I've never seen before. And I'm looking up on the stage, and there were singers up here that I didn't recognize. I didn't know who they were. And I was standing there, and I looked at someone who was standing beside me, and I said, "Who is that playing the guitar?" And they said, "He's brand new." And I looked and I said, "Who is that singing?" They said, "They're brand new." "Who is that over there?" "They're brand new." And I left where I was seated over here in the dream, and I started walking across the front of the church, and I was saying, "Lord, thank you for sending people. Thank you for sending those that you want to save. Thank you for sending those that are ready to go to work in your kingdom. And then the alarm started going off. But I woke up worshiping God for sending people. Listen to me, church. God is wanting to do something in Covington. God is wanting to do something in Newton County. God is wanting to do something in this area. Can we be ready? Can we put him where he belongs so that he can do what he wants to do? Guests are coming. And when they walk through the doors, we want them to know that Jesus is Lord. I want them to know that Jesus is Lord. We used to sing a song, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Crown him Lord of all." Jesus, as pastor of this house, I make a commitment on June the 3rd, 2018, that this church will not be about me. This church is about you. And if I ever try to make this church about me, then get me out of the way. This is your church. That does a lot of things. Because if it's Jesus' church, then he's got to take care of it. I'm going to tell you, he's been working. He's been working. Somebody came to the office the other day and said, "God spoke to us. Give a check. It's everything we have in savings. Don't know what we're going to do. Completely trusting God." Check was for $10,000. I was on Houston this week and Linda called. It scared me at first. I'd heard Brother David was down with pneumonia. "Oh no, what's wrong?" Miss Linda said, you got time for some good news." I said, "Always. Tell them other people on staff not to call me if they got bad news, but I'll take good news." City of Covington called. They've been overcharging us. I got to call them back, but they said somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000. It's not my church. Say, "Pastor Dale, that's awesome." "Yeah." And then I got to church today and they said, "We got another air conditioner down. So we're going to need another $10,000. Anybody else got $10,000? We need a whole lot of $10,000. In fact, I told Awesome Family that I said, "I believe this is a tithe. I believe this is the first of many." Why? Because we've been digging out. We went through a tough season as a church. Tough seasons are tough on every level. They're tough financially. They're tough on every level. Went through a tough season, and so we're working our way out of that. And I'm so thankful that God is working. I'm telling you, as fast as it comes in, it goes right back out. Paying something. Catching up something. Taking care of something. If there's anything in you that says, "Oh, well, if that's happening, let me just put my $50 up." No. Do what you can do to make the house strong. Crown him. I got to hurry. The next portion of that, Lord, I've just preached one portion. I should have made this a series. Somebody holler, hurry. The next portion. You don't see it right now. You're going to see it as soon as I say it. It's a sundial. Sundial. That sideways triangle looking in the middle is a sundial. Because the sundial is an instrument of time. It's an old instrument of time. You first see anything about them somewhere around 1500 BC. Many, many thousands of years ago. But you see, for brand purposes, we wanted to communicate to people that we've been here for a while. Been here a long time. This is not a fly-by-night church. No, this is not an upstart. Been here more than six decades. There's people in this house that have been a part of this church for 30-plus years. Been here a long time. Time has a way of weathering us. Time has a way of establishing us. Oh, we're a church that's committed to this community. We didn't run or close down when it seemed the easy thing to do. We took a licking and we kept on ticking. Time. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Again, Colossians 4 and 5, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." See here, at the church, we understand time. We are literally chasing eternity. Today, we are one day closer to eternity than we were yesterday. Time. See, we start measuring time by what we have to do tomorrow. It makes us feel better to think in real short increments of time. Right now, it's where am I going to lunch? Who's going to be the quickest? Pastor, better hurry, team church is in just a few hours. Time. But as a church, everything we do needs a sense of urgency. We're doing this because of time. We've got to see someone saved. I said it a few minutes ago, but it's my job as your pastor to pull you out of ruts and to push you through storms and to challenge you to commit, to ask you to pray, to call you to repentance, because getting stuck isn't an option. Getting stuck as a church is not an option. So how does it work? That you see in the middle is actually a gnomon. A gnomon, that's what that's called, the dial. The dial lays flat and it's got some numbers and some etchings in it. And then that piece is called the gnomon. The way that it tells time is when that piece, the gnomon, is in full view of the sun. The S-U-N. When it's in full view of the sun, then it casts a shadow. And that shadow is in the portion of time that it is on that particular day or at that particular moment. When the gnomon is aligned with the sun, what would happen? What would happen if we would get aligned with the sun? The S-O-N. What would happen if we would get aligned with that crown? What would happen if everything that we do What would happen if every effort, every ministry, everything that we try had complete alignment with the sun? I don't know why these lights just got brighter, but just leave them where they are, because if I get aligned with that light, then you can see me better. If I get aligned with the light, did not the Bible say that we are supposed to be the light? That's who we are. Time has to matter. That's why worship at 10 a.m. every Sunday. I think I'm going to say that one more time. That's why worship at 10 a.m. Ooh, child. Y'all give me a heart attack every single Sunday. There's some Sundays at 10 o'clock. I'm in here at 10 o'clock. Some Sundays at 10 o'clock, it's me and about 19 other people. And I think, well, that's it. It's over. Whatever I preached last Sunday was too much. They gone. And then here y'all come out of nowhere. What are y'all doing? Where are you? Tell me where the breakfast is that good. Somebody said, "Oh, I was out in the hallway talking to people." Listen, if I'm in here, don't come talk to me while I'm in here worshiping. It's not time for a meeting, counseling. I'm here to worship God. You ought to get here. I told the team the other day, you know, y'all could do the same first two songs every Sunday and nobody would ever even know it. Because they're not here for the first two songs, Miss Joanne. Have I made my point? All right. I love you, but we only got so much time. And let me tell you how that helps you, because right now y'all looking at me kind of funny, but I'm like, well, I didn't get them till 10:30, so you really only been here an hour and 9 minutes. Oh, when you put it in perspective like that. Church starts at 10 a.m. It's so important. And then, I'm coming. Come on. Then there is this, we call it a cast shadow, the third part of the logo, the crown, the sundial, the cast shadow. That shadow is what happens when the sun and the dial, when they get aligned, it casts a shadow. That shadow is evidence that we've been with Jesus. That shadow is proof that we're in proper alignment with the Lord. If we put this all together, Jesus, our time. No, not if, when. Today, when we get all of this together, we leave a lasting effect on our community. You see, Jesus is our partner for purpose. And none of this happens without Him. 2 Corinthians 1 and 24, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. King James says they're yea and amen. I've always described this as the promises of God. They're conditional on alignment. The yea is His word. The amen is my belief or my response to the word. Belief in the word. When you get the yea and the amen, the yes and the amen, when you get them to join hands, that's when you see the promises of God fulfilled. When you get that crown, our time, it leaves a lasting effect. I remember in Acts, and then Peter, who had been with Jesus, and the Bible said that as he walked through the crowd, his shadow was touching people, Barry, and they were being healed. His shadow. What could happen because of the shadow of this house? I came to church last Sunday. I was ready to take my life. But there was a word. There was a kindness. There was a smile. Shadow. Made the difference in my life. I'm praying, believing, hoping that we can leave a shadow throughout this community. We are not the church that used to be. We are the church that is and does and will. Our Discover Church process is know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. How do I become that shadow? An effective church. I am the church. I'm wearing a new t-shirt today. Elle's got one on. I've seen two or three people have stolen them off the table, maybe. Got them available after church if you want one of these t-shirts. You can get one. I am the church. Out on the info table at Church Central, just a little invite card. On one side, it's small. It can drop it in your purse or your wallet pocket. This could change your life forever. On the back, Sundays at 10 a.m., the address, the website. I plan on passing out 10 of these a week. Hey, it's great to meet you today. Man, look, just take this. Come meet me at church sometime. Come, let's hang out. It's easy. You could leave this with your generous tip today at lunch. If it's not a generous tip, don't leave this. Don't leave this at, well, this is the best tip I could give them. They need Jesus. No, they need your 20% too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm meddling in all kind of stuff today, Anna. I'm a real pastor, just all up in the business. Leave that. Never know where the shadow. Because this is more than a message on my chest. It's a purpose in my heart. I'm preaching this for the next few weeks. I am the church. Get here. Get someone here. I know summer's happening and you're going to catch a vacation. miss a Sunday here and there. Do what you got to do, but get here, get here, get here. Invite someone. It's a beautiful, awesome crowd this first Sunday of June. Team church tonight at 5 o'clock if you want to serve. Sign up for Discover Church next Sunday. But that's who we are. We are the church. Would you stand with me across the room?